Hello and welcome to None Taken. I'm your host, Dustin Hare. I'm joined again by Alan Smith. We got into a lot this week. There's been a lot of news about people spreading the COVID-19 virus and being charged with crimes by it, some of them being potentially charged as terrorists. The idea of a hairdresser going to someone's house, whether that's ethical or not. We talked about the president's newest speeches or press conferences and the change in tone that he seems to have. Alan suggests that it may be because he has personal friends that are getting sick now. We talk about that. We spend a lot of time talking about bailout, what we think about the ethics of that. If this is the first recession that was government caused, so what role does government have in remedying that? All that and more. But first, you're going to listen to me feed my dogs at the beginning. So get ready, America. Here's None Taken.
I'll be right back. I have to force feed a pill down a dog's throat.
Cool. Leave a sound up. We want to hear it.
Oh, okay, hold on.
I don't want to have to do this. Come on. Open. Open. No. Open. All right, do it. That was easy.
Nice.
Look at you.
Welcome to None Taken, the internet's only topic and debate show for people who know how to debate fairly, but we are throwing out the whole Oxford debate rules because it's not that kind of debate. And in fact, we're just talking and trying to not disagree while we talk. So it's not really a debate, but there are current events and I'm not lying about that. Today, Alan is here. Alan.
I am here. We do not have the Oxford style debate, but we do endorse the Oxford comma. So just throwing that out there.
Yes, comma and.
Mm-hmm.
A lot's gone on since we've talked last. You know, it's like as soon as the microphone goes off, something happens in the news.
True story.
I think first thing that kind of came up was like immediately after we talked last, I think there were starting to be cases of people being charged or discussions of people being charged as terrorists for knowingly spreading the COVID-19.
Well, I saw
the COVID.
I saw that there was a minister, I want to say, was it Florida, that was arrested for still trying to hold services. I don't know what they were charging him with, if it was considered terrorism, but there's been some cases like that.
Yeah, I think one I saw was a hairdresser that is, I think, being charged with attempted murder.
What?
Because she did that. Yeah, she did like the mobile, you know, come to your home hairdressing.
I mean, that seems a bit extreme.
Oh, it does, right? I agree.
A lot extreme, yeah. Actually. Hairdressers, that's one of the professions that a lot of hairdressers are going to be really hard hit by this because they have to pay for their chair most of the time in their shops. And so not only can they not work, but they still have to pay to keep their job, basically. Unless they have a kind owner or landlord. So don't ask me why I know that, but anyways.
No, I mean, I've heard that recently with dog groomers.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of people like that. Yeah. So,
yeah, and we're kind of getting to the point where now those people are starting to get laid off. Like the effects of this are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Customer's house I was at recently, I was there to diagnose something early on and we had to wait for parts. And now I came back recently. And in the meantime, they had been laid off.
Right. Yeah. A lot of retail workers being furloughed for at least a month or possibly beyond. So I know, I think the last time we did the show, which is only Friday, it's Monday now as we're recording this, there had been three.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. You're right. It's hard to remember what day it is. Good call.
There
were 3.2 million people, I think, that had filed for unemployment. I saw a graph on the news today saying that they think it might go up to 30% unemployment by the time we're through this. Now, to put that in perspective, the Great Depression, we got really close but didn't quite break 25% unemployment. So that's the kind of...
Yeah, but kids were working back then. Like, employment's a percentage of people that are available to work and looking for work, right?
So are you saying those aren't apples to apples comparison?
Miners out of the...
You know, that's a really
yeah,
good,
no,
that's a good
still.
point. I don't know how they measured unemployment in the during the Great Depression. Well, how did they come up by those numbers? Because yeah, you're right, there was a lot of different.
I don't think there's much room to really question though if that's a significant number or not.
Oh,
It clearly
yeah,
is.
It's huge. Absolutely huge.
Yeah, but so, you know, someone that's trying to just make a living and go to someone's house and work, I mean, they still have to be responsible for not getting people sick if they, you know, have symptoms and don't know it. I mean, do they have to be responsible? Let me think of those words. I mean, I think you have to be responsible for your actions, but in which ways are you responsible legally? And like, what is enforceable? My friend that came on recently said that, my friend Jen said that, you know, if you were to lick a doorknob and then convince someone to go touch that doorknob, you've now increased the likelihood that they might get infected. And then from there, you have maybe a 1-2% chance that person might die, depending mm-hmm. on their health. How is that attempted murder?
Well,
like if I shoot you and I don't kill you, I clearly attempted to hurt you. And I could understand a persuasive argument for attempted murder, mm-hmm. but I don't know this, you know, and that's not what happened. You know, somebody didn't lick a doorknob.
Well,
I mean, they did violate, you know, state recommendations, and now the state is using what, like the threat of capital punishment? I mean, at what point, like, is it just a fine?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so it kind of reminds me of the argument of, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater. Like, what's the liability for that? That's not quite the same. But I definitely think attempted murder is a bridge too far. But there should be consequences, I think, for that. I mean, first of all, I would like to think that we're better humans, better citizens, and that we wouldn't have to even discuss this, and we would all just do what's in our common interest. But obviously, that's not the case. So there has to be some sort of consequences. Walking the line as to what seems fair or right or just is, that's pretty hard to do. I don't know. Where do you come down?
I don't know. The idea that somebody is knowingly putting someone else at risk, I mean, that's obviously violence. You know, I don't think that's, I'm persuaded that if you know you're sick and you're out sharing space with someone, I mean, in this context, in this environment, that's violence. But that wouldn't be true with, like, if you had the flu during a very deadly flu season.
Well, wasn't there, so.
But it doesn't pose the same threat as a deadly flu season because you don't run the risk of crashing hospitals.
Well, remember when.
So I don't know, like the context, sorry to cut you off, but I mean, the context is so different and it's entirely true to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other kind of thought that I have with that, well, I'll wait for that. You know, just in general, I mean, I can see that it's violence, so I can understand a position for law enforcement to step in. But I don't, you know, I think like if somebody wrongs you, it's fair to ask for like 1.5 of how they wronged you in return. And that's the way that it's, you know, you're not just looking for punitive justice. You're looking for some sort of restoration. And you can't do that when someone just commits violence on your person in that way, you know?
Well, not only that, but it's not necessarily directed at you. If somebody just does that in a public space, I mean, who were they attempting to murder?
Yeah, and both parties maybe consented to it. You know, I'm fine with you coming over.
Oh, we're back to the hairdresser, not the
look.
We're back to the hairdresser, not the licking doorknobs, right?
Yeah. The doorknobs doesn't happen.
Because I was like, wait, both parties consented to the person licking the doorknob? I'm confused.
Sure.
Okay, no, this makes sense. Yeah, I think, I guess if you had, if the hairdresser wore the appropriate mask and sterilized everything, I don't know. I would say don't get your hair done right now. but
like, what if you and the hairdryer both consent to potentially, you know, risking getting sick? Like, and then, I mean, what role does the state have to actually say we need to make sure that after that you actually stay inside for 14 days, you know, and don't potentially risk anybody else getting sick? I mean, I don't necessarily think that they should have that power. I think that they should give us these recommendations and we should just follow them. The problem is compulsion has to show up at some point, and I really struggle with endorsing that kind of compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
Because it usually means the threat of violence from the state.
So how deep do you want to go down this rabbit hole? Because we could tear this thing apart if you want. We could always cut it out if it's boring.
Yeah, I want to hear what you think about that. I honestly feel like I'm kind of I'm at a spot where my thoughts can go equally both directions on that. Like I feel like I can really entertain both sides on that. I have a gut feeling, which I'd rather err. I always would rather err on the side that gives people more freedom. You know, usually this is in the context of what's illegal and what's not. So you come across like a good guy. You're saying like, well, drugs should be illegal because who's to say what you should let someone do or not? Or you're kind of a good guy because people want to, I don't know, gay sex, gay marriage.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
Gay marriage, you know, it's like just err on the side that lets people do what they want, you know. And in this case, I want to err on the side of giving people freedom. However, you know, I'm recording the living room and I've got to worry about road noise because there's assholes out here driving around.
I have to close everything up when I'm recording because BART, which if you don't know, is the Bay Area Rapid Transit, the light rail is literally, you know, a couple blocks from where I live, and you'll hear it in the background if I don't. I don't know why they're still running those trains. There's like nobody riding them, but obviously there's a few people, but yeah, that's crazy. So
Quad City DJs are riding that train.
Good point. So let's take this as best case scenario. So let's say you have we'll do the hairdresser, they're in good health, they show no signs of symptoms, they have a clean space to have their customer come to their home, they wear a mask, everything's wiped down and Lysoled. The customer signs a consent form when they show up saying, I agree to be here and risk, you know, contracting this. Now that customer is your clerk at the grocery store who's still an essential employee. Is that okay?
So we live in a world where clerks at grocery stores afford custom home haircuts.
Okay, I was doing best case scenario here. I was trying to, you know,
Yeah, it's a perfect world where people that work at grocery stores can afford in-home hair.
I was making a straw man argument, maybe. all right.
Keep going.
What is the role of the state in that transaction, in that environment?
I mean, I guess they collect taxes at the end of the year.
Right. But that's kind of what your question is, right? So how should we handle that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, like, what was the agreed upon? Like, what would we say, like, outside of this moment, you know, 6 months ago, what would we have said is reasonable?
I think we would have said that's perfectly reasonable 6 months ago, but nothing's reasonable now. So,
Okay. So then that leads me to what I was going to say is that, you know, stories of someone going into a supermarket and allegedly coughing all over all the produce of the store to throw away $35,000 worth of produce, stories of a guy breaking into an Asian American's house and murdering them because he thinks that they're spreading COVID-19. Stories like this hairdresser potentially being charged with attempted murder. These all remind me of our childhood in different ways. When we were kids, we grew up within the satanic panic and everybody's trying to poison your children and put knives in their Halloween candy,
which is all bullshit.
And if anybody hasn't looked into that, there was literally not one example of poisoned Halloween candy, razor blades in apples, or actual satanic panic. None of those, and those two are different, but none of those things ever happened. They just never happened. The Exorcist came out in theaters. We didn't have the internet yet, so word of mouth, this thing happened to this person who we knew, and it all came out from like, honestly, if you look at it, this phenomenon started after The Exorcist. After that, everything started being haunted, and my lawnmower convinced me to murder the president. Just hysteria and panic. And I feel like there's some this reminds me of it. And I don't want to dismiss anything from this moment because it all sounds really valid. I'm just afraid that, like in that scenario with what happened in the mid 80s, late 80s, we didn't understand that none of that shit was happening for another 10 years. So maybe things move faster now. We figured out in 6 months. you know, if there's no need for this panic about this and charging people for with crimes for coughing in grocery stores. I mean, as far as I know, that happened. I believe that happened. But like, I know it happened as much as I knew that razor blades were in apples. Like, let's calm down. We don't need to be, you know, putting people in prison for life right now. I think. I don't
so
know.
I mean, I lost your audio for that, like 10 or 15 seconds there. Not sure what happened. But so I missed a little bit of that. But I do generally know what you're talking about. So a couple things. So first of all, there's a great podcast out there called Liar City. I don't think they're currently doing any episodes. At least I haven't seen anything in their feed for quite a while.
Yeah, I think they've been dormant.
Yeah,
for like
anyways,
2 years,
they did an awesome episode, maybe even a couple episodes about the satanic panic and all that and how it was really BS. And then so to your point of, is that comparable to what's happening today? I personally have not read the story that you're talking about of the person sneezing and over the produce. I haven't read the hairdresser article. I tend to avoid headlines that seem clickbaity. So maybe I filter that stuff out. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's happened. I just can't confirm or deny it. I think if they do happen, they're probably pretty rare. And I think how the government powers that be deal with that should be a one-off as far as what's appropriate for the crime committed.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I try to avoid sensational news headlines a lot too. But you know, friends or you have a partner who wants to show you stuff, and you're like, okay, well, let's definitely be
sure.
aware of that. You know, I don't know if that's happening.
Oh, I completely understand.
And then this person I'm hypothetically talking about says things like, well, FBI and law enforcement say that they're seeing a trend in violence towards Asian Americans. So apparently that's true. Now that's true. Now apparently people are going door to door and harassing Asian people. And if that is true, like we need to be better than that. But I don't know if we need to, like, everyone gets a notification on their phone. We all read the same article and we all say, okay, let's look out for the people harassing Asian people, because I just don't think that that's happening as often enough to require us all to be aware of it, all to be front of mind of it. Like, please don't do that. I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying, you know, I'd rather be front of mind of not touching licked doorknobs or in reality coughed off.
Well,
surfaces,
I think that's,
you know,
where technology does us a disservice. Obviously, we didn't have the same technology back in the 80s during the satanic panic and all that stuff, and we still got dragged into that BS. But I think it's way worse now with just the, you know, articles going viral, the clickbaity headlines, the incentive that social media has to having you engage on their platform and therefore feeding you articles that tend to be more on the extreme. All of that contributes to this. So I try to avoid that stuff. And yeah, maybe there are instances where people are harassing Asian Americans. That's horrible, and I don't like that, but I don't see it as it's not a pandemic of that happening. Pandemic's a really bad word to use, but you know what I mean.
Epidemic.
What'd you say? Epidemic?
Yeah. I said epidemic.
It was very pensive. I barely heard it. But yeah.
Yeah, it's so pensive it sleeps in the other room with its wife. It's so pensive it refers to his wife as mother. It's so pensive it won't be in the same room as.
Did you have
woman.
These all written down? Are you prepping some Pence jokes here? You got a
no.
Bit.
These are just true things
I mean,
about
you're not
our
wrong.
Vice president that
you're
you can't forget
wrong.
Once you know them. Yeah,
I don't know. That? So did you get?
I pensively said that I agreed we shouldn't harass Asian people. I don't know.
I agree. You should not. That's bad. Okay. It's bad.
Yeah.
Did you get an, I know you're not in my county, so maybe you didn't, but I got an alert today from, like, you know how you get the Amber alerts. I got an alert like that on my phone saying that the shelter in place has been extended to May 3rd for my local area.
Wow. Why May 3rd? You guys already got extended.
Well, the
to
state,
the 30th,
I believe,
right?
I think Gavin Newsom announced through the 30th. And then now this is from the county saying the 3rd. I don't know.
I just don't understand the difference to the 3rd.
Probably.
Is that a Monday?
It's just arbitrary dates at this point. I don't even know what day it is.
Right? Like, you think come the second, we're like, oh my God, tomorrow.
There will be a day like that. Like,
do you
I
think
hope.
They come?
The third is actually.
Yeah. It's going to be like the Oklahoma land run. We're all just going to go snatch up all the old abandoned houses from all the dead
old
elderly.
I've never heard of this. Yeah.
The Oklahoma land run? Okay. So have you ever seen the movie Far and Away?
I don't think so. Lots of things.
What's wrong with you? You call yourself a Tom Cruise fan.
I've never called myself a Tom Cruise fan. I'd like to point that out.
Yeah. 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 Only me and only me.
You took pictures in Top Gun and stuff, didn't you, at one point?
I'm looking at a picture of me. I'm looking at an artist rendition of me wearing the Top Gun bomber jacket with the Top Gun logo and the American flags in the background. And over my shoulder is my dog. In her own bomber jacket. So yes, I do love
that. It's like you do. VV commissioned that for you, right?
Yeah.
Very sweet.
That's
very
true.
Sweet. It's lovely.
It was. Yeah. So Far and Away is a movie about Tom Cruise, an Irish immigrant, clearly.
Okay.
who follows the love of his life, who is a aristocratic Irish woman who falls on hard times, and then they come to America and things are really bad when they come to America, and then they find out about Oklahoma, where all you have to do is put a flag in the ground and claim your land, and there's going to be a land rush.
It's like homesteading.
You don't know about this.
Like homesteading.
It's like homesteading on steroids. Get ready, America. So what happened is they all lined up on like a arbitrary border-ish line, and at noon, we'll say, they fired a shotgun in the air. And at the shotgun start, the people that left and rode off on horses and actually tried to find open land, anywhere they put the flag down, that was theirs. Those people were called boomers because they left when the boom happened, when the gun went off. Some people were called Sooners. Those pieces of shit snuck out the night before and found a prime piece of land. And as soon as the gun went off, they put their flag down.
Holy shit.
This is all depicted. This is all depicted in Far and
Away. This is why the boomer Sooner chant.
Yes, this is why there's a Boomer Sooner chant.
Wow.
So, which is really funny, actually, because Oklahoma is an American state where prior to it being a state, all the Native Americans were put and said, all right, you guys can live here. And then they said, just kidding, we're going to steal that from you. And then people stole that in the manner I just described after that.
God, our history is just so wonderful. I did not know that. I wonder how many people that chant Boomer Sooner like are completely unaware of that history.
I would say 95% of the people that chant Boomer Sooner know that, but I would say equally 95% of the people listening to someone chant Boomer Sooner have no idea what
that. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I've explained it better. That's one of the better ways of explaining it. Usually I just go, have you seen Far and Away? And they go, yeah. I go, you seen the end of the movie? They say, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, those were Sooners.
That's a hell of a way to tell a story.
Yeah. Just a lot of, you skip all the bare knuckle boxing, the potatoes. We're not talking about Far and Away
anymore. No.
Okay.
So you have not received any updated like shelter in place from your county or your municipality or anything like that?
No, I'm just scrolling right now to see what my last notification was from the county. It said, okay, here we go. The county is restricting the acceptance of cruise ships with COVID-19 as local cases reach 603.
Okay.
Yeah. The day before it was at 500. So it's been 24 hours. They usually send a text out between like 6 and I got one that was like at 8:06 the day before. So usually in the evening, right as you're trying to unwind, they send a scaries out.
Just to remind you that nothing is normal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mine came pretty early, 1:38 p.m., so not bad.
Yeah, that's not
bad at all.
Yeah, middle of the day is nice for that, right? It's probably still sunny.
Oh, it's lovely. Of course, all your social medias and your Google photos and everything is all like, oh, remember what you were doing this time last year when you were at a beer fest and a Sharks game and a concert? And I'm like, fuck you, Google. I don't want to hear that right now.
Isn't it crazy to watch TV or, like you said, a memory?
Yeah.
And just watch people really close to each other and being like, wow, that's weird. Like they didn't go around each other.
Yeah.
Like it already became normal, you know?
Yeah. It's surreal, but you're right. We've adjusted. That's good. That's what we're supposed to do. Adjust.
You know, I've heard, I mean, so I would say it's barely been the number of days required for it to be considered maybe a streak. But it appears that California has flattened its curve a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah. When did you see that? Yesterday?
I saw that today, I think, actually.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's good then. See, I saw that yesterday and I was like, cool. I don't want to get happy. So if you saw it today, that's
yeah,
nice.
I believe I saw it today. Because they're comparing us to what's happening in like New York, Connecticut, Jersey, all those places over there. Florida still hasn't gone into shelter in place.
Dude, I don't get
it. Well, Florida, the mad lads of the US. So
actually let me refer
the mad lads of the United States over there.
I like that. I don't get that how they haven't blown up yet though. Like I would have thought that enough time's gone by that they would look like New York, especially with that elderly population.
Yeah, but their thing is that we don't know how bad it is, because of the way the symptoms present and the way it spreads. I mean, it could blow up overnight, honestly. You there?
That's scary.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was just
I sent you that thing about the gastrointestinal symptoms.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. I wish you didn't send me that. Okay,
well,
recap.
All right, so first of all, I want to caveat this. This is not from the CDC's website. The CDC's website still specifically talks about shortness of breath, fever spikes, that sort of thing. So trouble breathing, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, and fever is the primary things you're looking for from CDC. This is a very small case, and... So according to this, in Wuhan, China, around 50% reported at least one digestive symptom. I'm sorry, 18% reported diarrhea, vomiting, or abdominal pain. But again, this is a really small study. 206 patients. So that's really not enough to really say anything, honestly, because those symptoms could be completely separate. I mean, they could have had some bad Chinese food earlier.
Some of the things that were interesting that, oh man, ow.
I slid you down there. All right, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I thought was the most interesting about that was that they measured that, or they could test for COVID in their stool samples on people that weren't testing positive in their, from the other tests.
Yeah.
So they weren't showing up with respiratory issues. Or they had respiratory issues and an upset stomach, you know, being diarrhea or vomiting, and but they weren't showing up with the respiratory test. I think like the swab in the back of the throat, but they were finding it from their stools, which means that there could be a lot of people whose only symptoms are an upset stomach. Never, they even said some of these people never showed upper respiratory or respiratory issues.
Yeah.
So you pass through, you know, what you think was quarantine gut, where you've been nervous for the last.
And yeah, I'm right there with you. Part of the reason I found this article was because I was like, man, I'm kind of not feeling great for a little bit here. Is this a thing? So I Googled it like you do. And I found this article. Again, it's very small case study. The CDC does not list this as a symptom that you should worry about. And for most people, I think you probably shouldn't, but it's out there. One more thing to get stuck in my brain and drive me a little bit nuts. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Hopefully we figure more things out as this progresses.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like you said, it's just one more thing to be worried about. Great. But you know, the other good thing is though, I mean, if you want to find some silver lining in that, if all you do is have stomach gut and you never really had any respiratory, or maybe like a slight bit of respiratory, and then that goes away and your stomach goes away.
And then you're immune.
Hopefully if you ride this out without infecting other people in the meantime, you'll get over your symptoms, you'll stop being contagious, and we'll all get over
it. Yeah, actually, if that's the worst that it gets, that's not that bad at all.
I want that version. Dude, So I'm not trying to spread this Chinese flu bullshit. Right. I have heard it explained to me though that it appears there's two different strains of this virus.
I have not heard that.
So I've heard that there's the version that you're getting in China where, and then that version mostly seems to have come to the US, mm-hmm. where it's respiratory, it's everything that we've been describing. And it, you know, sometimes you can walk around with it and heal from it. You know, it kind of, it's a bad cold unless you're an at-risk person.
In an at-risk group, or yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they're saying that the one that hit Italy is a little bit different, and it's the reason why there's been a lot of 30-year-olds and younger that are suffering from it, and that it tends to kill people within like 2 days. And, you know, it's like you're frothing at the mouth and all that.
Really? Stuff. I have not seen that anywhere.
Yeah.
Like a whole different strain. Yeah. Where did you see this?
I saw this from my neighbor.
Valid source.
I will say this neighbor is in the, I think, bio research industry, and they're a grad student at, there's two main schools. There's three main schools in San Diego, and there's one that's respected. They're a grad student researcher at the one that's not respected. The party school.
Gotcha. Have you seen that in any like media anywhere or reporting?
No, because I don't look into this shit.
You don't want the sensationalism.
Yeah, all I just go is, okay, well, I seem to fit all the symptoms that, you know, match the bad cold that's coming, that seems to be the Chinese version of it. I hate saying it that way.
Wait, are you saying you have cold symptoms still?
Yeah.
Like, what's your temperature?
Well, that's the thing, is the temperature shows up later, you know, like the temperature is kind of that thing saying, okay, your body's trying to cook to try to kill this thing, and it's going as hot as it can to try to kill this thing, and you're in trouble. So, you know, your fever coming on isn't, you know, it's kind of like, yep, everything you thought for the last 2 weeks sure was true. I think if you read that article, they said, you know, people that had stomach issues didn't show up at the hospital until the 17th day. Where people that had respiratory issues showed up on the 11th day. I'm on like day 8, 7. So now I'm talking about one.
I was going to say, you sound perfectly normal. You don't sound.
I'm short of breath. I mean, I'm like 5% shorter of breath than usual.
Well, and it's
well within like a margin of error of nerves.
And
you know?
Keep yourself in pretty good cardiovascular shape, right?
Yeah, like ultimately, like if this is it, I mean, I've gained a little bit of confidence in, okay, if this is a version of getting sick right now, you know, hopefully I'm healthy enough, I'll be okay if I don't get anybody else sick. But yeah, I mean, now that you told me my upset stomach probably means I've had the COVID.
But
yeah.
But we agreed that's the good kind. That's the kind you want, right?
Yeah, I'm happy with this confirmation. I don't know how else to say this. Like, and I'd like to not talk to people for another 3 weeks, you know, preferably with pay, but I'll take it.
I mean, I'll sign up for that version. All right. Yeah. Well, so that's that. I kind of don't want to get like too sensationalist, but that stuff's out there. People are seeing it. I guess we should talk about it.
And I think that deserves, you know, as much credit as the people that are saying it's a, manufactured man-made virus.
Yeah, I don't buy that for a second. I've seen a lot of really really well trusted epidemiologists saying that there's no way that's the case.
Yeah, there's markers that
in the DNA basically of the.
So there can be, but it's also like you could make a virus without having necessarily markers too, though. So saying that there aren't doesn't necessarily mean anything. That said, one of the arguments is that it is like not the shape of a virus that you would expect, of like a cell, I guess. Like it's not the shape that you would expect a virus to be shaped as that would get someone sick. So it's not the way that if you were working in a lab, you would just modify this known, successful infection method. And just
I did
model
see
that.
An expert
so
say basically, like, if this was man-made, the person who made it was like genius because there's no way we would have thought of this. This is not how we would have built it.
Yeah. Right. But also, so that's what I thought too, right? Which is like the thing that somebody who believes this would come back with. But what I would say to that person is, you don't understand, like, you wouldn't pick a non-successful virus shape to use. You would use a successful one. You wouldn't say, because you would have to go through hundreds of iterations of this to be successful. And that would really take more years than have existed of that being a possible way of creating viruses. Like we haven't lived long enough for someone to have gone with, hey, let's make a minivan fly. You know, like there were already airplanes, and to not use an airplane would be foolish, not in a genius way, you know?
that's a really clever
yeah. It took a while for me.
Similar, the other the minivan flying, I like it. Okay.
Thank you. Cargo space. No, cargo ground.
Cargo ground. Car no fly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm not an expert on that. I tend to, so if I see somebody with credentials and expertise in that and they say that it's like 99.9% not man-made, then I tend to believe that.
That was another thing. They said that, like, one of the things that came out said it was like 96% similar to an existing virus or whatever. Mm-hmm. No. They said that, okay, so the conspiracy theorists had said that there is a facility that does viral research in Wuhan. And, you know, my response to that was admittedly rude. And I said something along the lines to my friend that shared it, said, like, you know, call me crazy, but maybe you put your epidemic research facility next to where the last two epidemics came from.
Doesn't seem like a bad strategy.
No, it's a great spot. I mean, that's where the wet markets are, right?
Right. Doesn't the CDC, our CDC, have offices over there too?
I'm not sure. Honestly, yeah. I don't know.
I thought I read that somewhere. But could be wrong.
So one of the things they said was that immediately after the virus came out, they said that its DNA matched a experimental virus that they made in that facility that they know is a real virus like this, you know,
mm-hmm.
that for some reason they were fucking around with. They checked all their inventories. They say they're all there. Of course, I'm suspicious. It's China. But the argument that people make is that it's 96% identical to that virus. And it's like, dude, 94% when it comes to DNA is so huge.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's an elephant to a mouse. I mean, or probably bigger than that, actually. That's huge.
It's right?
Yeah. It's a bit much more than that, actually. Yeah. No, that's, I agree. That's craziness. So I think I might have finally found something that we're going to actually kind of disagree on more.
Oh, good.
So first of all, I think regardless of what any of us think about the president, I think we've been relatively clear on our views. When he does, like, sort of does things that are helpful, I think we should give him credit for that. And honestly, we're all in this together, and he is the president. So I hope he gets it right, honestly. I hope he figures it out. I think we've talked at length here and in private as well as to, you know, the things that he's done that we wish he would have, you know, done differently or made different decisions. But I was kind of heartened actually watching the press conferences of him over the weekend, the last few days, where he seems to have sort of turned a corner and is seeing this as more serious. He still gets in his own way and he still, you know, he'll say some things. I'm like, oh yes, finally he's it's gotten through. And then he'll say other things. And I'm thinking, come on, man, can you just not make it about, you know, you being reelected and all the great things you've done? Can we just deal with this issue? So this isn't the thing we're going to disagree about, but I heard him, I think it was maybe Sunday or Monday. I don't remember. As I said, the days are running together, but I think when it seemed to really hit home for him was when he had people that he knew, he said friends of his, that had gotten ill. He said he had a friend that was in a coma. And that, I guess all the scientists and, you know, everybody's telling him this was a big deal, didn't seem to get through, but that seemed to actually pierce something. So did you see that? What'd you think of that? How do you think he's responded in the last couple of days?
Yeah, you mentioned watching that press conference, and I just couldn't find it in me to put it on. Mm-hmm. Like, let me say this carefully. It's not out of disrespect.
He says and then coughs.
I don't know. it's not out of disrespect for him that I don't want to listen to him. I used to tune in whenever George W. Bush would have press conferences and think like, oh, it's a news alert. Like, you know, the president's talking. He doesn't need to, you know. I was younger too, though. But that's someone who's not high up on the great presidents lists. Like, I'm not just ignoring him. I am ignoring him, though, because he just goes up there and lies. And it feels like everything that they say that they give him an exact script for what he's supposed to say when he goes up there so that he doesn't go off the cuff. And then he goes off the cuff. And the last time he went off the cuff, he's like, you know, we have these therapies that are working. They're not working. Mm-hmm. As far as we know, that chloroquine is not working.
He was talking about that again, by the way, in a press conference today.
Here's the thing. There is a danger with talking about the therapies specifically, because now it is not the president's fault, but because he was careless about saying that, somebody went and took pool chemicals like an idiot and killed themselves like an idiot. Mm-hmm. They probably would have walked in front of traffic at some point and died early too. I feel bad for them. Sorry for being so flippant, but it's not the president's fault that person died.
Yeah, they were probably going to be a Darwin Award regardless if it was that or something
sure.
else.
Sure. Yeah. However, the therapies are not put into his script saying that they work. And he starts talking about how that they work, not even talking about how they work. They work when you're, you know, put on an EKG and monitored, you know? Like, these are chemicals. It's not something, and they use different mechanisms. Okay, sorry, here's what I was going to say. There were several studies that were used to prove if that chloroquine works, and the best study that proved that it works, the percentage of people that benefited from it was augmented, because by the end of the study, people that were taking that therapy died, possibly from it.
That's
so, say there's like 20 people in this study and you have a control group where it doesn't help anyone, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have 20 people in this other study or in the other group, and 14 of them actually lived to the end of the study and 6 people it worked. That's 6 out of 20, really. And that might tell you that those ones that died, it didn't. I mean, it clearly didn't save them.
Yeah, that's not great efficacy by any means.
Yeah, so it's not being presented to him that this is a good therapy, this is working. And what I need to say actually is, we live in the world where we heard all that. So we live in a world where we kind of thought that that does work and that there's a therapy that's working. But that's not the way that it was ever intended to be put out into the media and dispersed into us understanding it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happens...
So I don't really listen to him talk, man.
Well, know? So I think that when he goes off the cuff like that, he's talking about things that... perhaps he's heard in a briefing, you know, where somebody said, hey, we're working on this, it's a potential, and then he just like throws it out. They're like, oh, we got this, it's working perfectly, you know. I think that's where that comes from. I agree that's it's not great, it's not helpful. I wish you didn't do that. I still think that I feel better about the fact that he seems to be taking things a little more seriously now.
Yeah.
So
how does that look? Because I didn't watch it. So does he sound different? Does he sound like we just bombed Syria?
He sounded different. He actually, because he's always, I think at least for the first few weeks of this, he's always sounded sort of like the media is making this a much bigger deal than it is. It's really not that bad. You know, he said, you know, the churches will be packed by Easter. He's walked all that back. And, you know, he said that people should stay, you know, minimal contact with the outside world through the end of this month, which was, you know, far from what he was saying even a week or two ago. So I am heartened by that. The one thing he talked about today, and actually has been talking about for a little while, which I think is a good idea. I'm very worried in practice how it would actually be implemented. And I think there definitely needs to be safeguards in place so he doesn't just stuff it all in his own bank account. But he talked about infrastructure. And an infrastructure package. He's asking for $2 trillion infrastructure package.
Two more trillion?
Yes. Two more trillion.
And so that 2 trillion you were talking about in the text of topics for this, mm-hmm. that wasn't the existing
$2 trillion. No, this is phase 4, I think they're calling it.
When quantitative easing happened,
easy for you 08, to say, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
When that happened in 08, one of the things, was it Bernanke back then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was saying that they were asking him to explain, you know, how that's not going to cause inflation. And he was like, oh, it's very simple. You know, we don't really put any money out. I mean, we create more money. All that happens in the bank account, it used to say 4 trillion and now it says 6 trillion. Like, it's just a digital increase. Am I understanding that right?
Well, they do have to, they have to borrow the money. Now the federal government, the way the Fed works is very complicated, and I'm not qualified to expose on that. But his point was that interest rates are basically zero now, with the Fed has lowered them, so they can get money cheaply, similar to, you know, what FDR did with the New Deal. And, you know, we have crumbling infrastructure everywhere. I think that's, I can agree with that. Infrastructure is in bad shape in a lot of places. It needs a lot of investment. So
he's been saying that since he was campaigning.
And I don't disagree with him in that. Actually, he's not wrong.
Sorry, that's been happening since Barack Obama was campaigning.
Right. He's not, I mean, that's a fact. That's true. I mean, we have bridges that are in bad shape. We have tunnels, all that. I don't want to sound like I'm parroting his remarks, but
no, but that, I mean, that's both sides of the aisle would say that our infrastructure is,
I think it's a valid point. Yeah. And if we're going to have 30% unemployment, I mean, some of these businesses aren't going to come back. Let's be honest.
So you're saying have like a Tennessee Valley Act or authority for rebuilding the roads?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
This trillion.
That kind of thing. I mean, I think, what was it called? Like the PWA or WPA back when yeah. FDR did it.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I could see that as being a viable thing that we would do. You know,
so it would be like the IWA, the Infrastructure and Highway Authority.
Oh, I'm sure Trump would slap his name on it somewhere.
So fine. You're getting to the meat of this. That's what I was going to say then. So in the world that I would prefer to live in, what would happen is we would agree that needs to be done. The source of all the money is going to probably come through the federal government, but it can go into contracts for private companies to help do that. Mm-hmm. So you could put the work at, you know, you could put the shovels in the hands of actual citizens that need to do it. And you could put the power of entrepreneurship into citizens. And it might not be the same risk that a normal entrepreneur would have to take on, because they'll have the co-signing of the federal government. And I think that'd be great. Here's what I think is going to happen. Whatever the biggest, you know, the Black Hawk of paving roads, mm-hmm. is going to come in and get all those bids, mm-hmm. You know, and by Black Hawk, what I mean is Eric Prince and anybody who's close to the president in any way is going to get all of the benefits of this, whatever infrastructure plan he puts through. What I'm saying is I would rather the government not be at the helm of managing the way that money goes out and that work gets done. But if the government is, I really do not trust this president to not have graft and cronyism and all of the trappings of classic politics that we really need to get past in order to move forward as a society.
Yeah. So
I think we're going to fall right back into an old trap. I think it would, you know, it'd be bad if we had the New Deal again these days, because it wouldn't get managed as well as it did then. And, you know, removed from it this long, there's a lot of people that didn't like the way it was managed then, you know?
Yeah, sure. So you're predicting like a Dick Cheney Halliburton thing where, or even you could say things that...
Oh, I can predict the next 6 months of Intercept headlines and Guardian headlines exposing all the corruption that's going on and making sure that all the right people will still remain profitable while... Yeah, and so there's a problem with this, right? It's not just that I don't want those people to be successful. What I want is the flourishing of success that would come from it actually happening in some sort of a market, not just graft. Graft stalls to a halt. Nothing gets done. And in the result, or in the end, you end up finding that, you know, it was nothing like... You look at the big dig in Boston, mm-hmm. right? Like, by the time you're done, traffic's elevated to around the problem that it was, and now you've got all these new roads, but there's still traffic because it took you 30 years to fucking do it.
Yeah, graft is fundamentally bad for an economic structure.
And this president, I mean, you have the resurgence of Tammany Hall, You know, I mean, essentially Tammany Hall has been moved to Trump Tower. Your backroom dealings are going to take place left and right if he's the person actually at the helm of this. And it doesn't matter if he's at the helm of this. He's appointed the people that are going to be doling out who gets what money.
Yeah.
Look at the bailout that we got. Look at the bailout that we got. I don't want a bailout like that. I don't want, you know, how much was that bailout? That was $2 trillion, mm-hmm. right?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the one that's giving us checks, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. If you gave every citizen in or every household in the U.S. a $5,000 check for the next 3 months, it still wouldn't have touched the $2 trillion. The best way to get money back into the market to actually see real growth is to just, if you're going to do it, give the money directly to the citizens. Let them decide what to do with it.
So you're saying
they'll spend it on starting that new business that they've always wanted to do. You'll see your infrastructure get rebuilt from all these new companies. I mean, I've got an idea in my head that I'm just sitting on until I actually have the ability to do so. And, you know, if you think I haven't been motivated by this quarantine to just, you know, take every day, not take any second for granted anymore, I'm going to get out there rip roaring. And if you gave me 10 grand, man, I could do a lot with that. Give me $1,200. None of us. What are we going to do with that? That is not. I mean, it's not nothing. It's not nothing. But I don't need $1,200.
Yeah. Well, that $1,200.
If you gave me $5,000, I could probably come up with something to do with
I guess.
That. And also, I don't need either of those. I'm not asking for either of those.
So I guess my argument would be that the $1,200 is not for people like you and me. The $1,200 is for people that are much closer to the margins where that actually helps them make their rent and helps them put food on the table. And it's still not enough. I agree. It should be higher.
They should have dropped the threshold to 50K and given those people, you know, 8 grand or whatever that
might be. I do think that there is a way to infuse that money into the economy to create a new deal, so to speak. That's good for everybody. That's good for the country. That's good for our infrastructure and good for our economy. And
I just don't trust the way that it's
I 100% agree the devil will be in the details. And we're going to have to be, you know, very attentive to what's actually in these bills. But we got to do something. And the federal government, this is the time, if there ever was one, for them to step in and do something, right? And I agree that...
Well, okay, so what mechanisms can they use to inspire entrepreneurship?
Well, so before... Because
people with skin in the game are really going to do something with this. You make up $2 trillion, that's not real money. So you can spend it however you want with no consequence. But if you... give that, if you loan that money out and somebody has to understand that they're on the hook for it and they're going to try to come up with a creative solution, you're going to have 9 out of every 10 of those people fail, and the 10th one's going to bring us out of this mm-hmm. shit. You do that across the population. You don't just give it to GE or GM or whoever they're going to end up picking.
So
it's going to be a bad solution if they handle it this way. I agree. They've got to do something. They are tasked with that, right? Like, we created a system where we have elected leaders. They are tasked with making the right choice. And one of the choices they thought was right was to tell us all to stay the fuck home. So the first time in world history, we have a recession created by the government. The government said, you can't go to work. Now we have a recession. So they do have a responsibility to bring us
out.
Well,
I think that there are people that would argue that this is not the first time we've had a government create a recession, and that policies enacted by previous administrations have created recessions. But that's neither here nor there. I agree that.
Yeah, but this is government... so direct. I mean, within a matter of 3 weeks, people, you know, companies are out of business because of something the government said, which I agreed with what they said, but. I'd hope that we could float through that time period without people losing their
lives. Yeah, so I think that our government definitely has not a great track record in enacting these sort of bailouts. So how would they do it? How would it be equitable? How would it be fair? How would it not just enrich the 1%? That's the million-dollar question. I think giving people access to capital is huge, and I don't know the mechanisms by which we do that. You said, give me 10 grand, and I have a dream. I have something I can do with that. I mean, I'm sure there's people like that all over the country. You're definitely not the only one that's, you know, sitting there at home going, man, you know, if I knew, you know, I would have taken it.
Well, we have the reality show president. Why doesn't he make America's Got Shark Tank? And we all come down and pitch what we think we can do to fix this infrastructure. And our president tells us if we're fired or not. Just use, like, let's use some judo here and come up with, like, a way of using this person's weakness for our strength.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
No, it's not interesting. Shut the fuck up.
So, well,
no.
Hold on.
No, that is the last step before idiocracy.
I didn't say it was a good idea. I said it was interesting. so your girlfriend, Vivi, does she still play that game? the whole thing where you try and get your student loans paid for?
No, they are out of funding right now, shockingly.
Is that a recent
thing? So there's an app called Givling, and it sells ads. So there's some, let me back up. There's something called the attention economy. If you're not familiar with it, there's several articles by someone named Rene DiResta or another something Harris, Martin Harris.
Just Google attention economy. And trust me, if you're not aware of it, you are participating in it, whether you know it or not.
Yeah, exactly. So this app, like Judo, leverages the attention economy for good. It's at least its intention. So the way it works is you get on and you play some trivia and then you watch some advertisements. And by watching those advertisements, money goes into an account, and then they pick winners that they pay off like 50 grand of student loans using that advertising account. The advertising income has dried up and the app is not funded.
Still
right
not viable.
Which makes me think, we're on a podcast right now who lives off of pretty much the same advertising sources that app mm-hmm. was using. Like she would talk about, like she bought that Manscaped trimmer for me. And I was like, where'd you see this? She's like, on my app. I'm like, yeah, because I heard it on podcasts. Right. You know, Harry's was on there. Stamps. Are you tired of the post office? This episode's brought to you by Stamps.
Well, I mean, so also the headphones.
Well, wait. So I'm worried that podcasts are going to be drying up of revenue too. This one's free for me, but that's scary. For, you know, I love podcasts, and I'd hate to see Wondery go out of business because they aren't getting revenue. But that wasn't what you brought up. You brought up that app.
So I'll just, before I go back to that. So the headphones I'm using currently, I was an ad from Instagram, and I first heard about them on a stream that I watch on Twitch, where the streamer was talking about, oh, these headphones are great. I love them. They sound great. And then I saw the ad on Instagram a couple days later, and I'm like, I need some new headphones. And I bought them. So it's still out there. It still works, right? In any event.
Right.
So I think there are solutions like that. We have to think out of the box. And I'm not necessarily saying it's you or I that has to come up with this. But there are solutions that can find a way to get that capital into the hands of people that will do something with it and use it. I do think that for infrastructure, though, the government has to be involved directly, because they're the ones that are writing the checks to those contractors and those corporations that are going in and rebuilding those bridges or repaving those roads or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
Now, I also think...
Yeah, I just don't trust...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I understand and accept that. I just don't trust this administration to dole that money.
Well, you could say that. I mean, would you trust the Obama administration to do it? Would you trust the Bush administration to do it? I don't think
mildly more,
but
the first one, okay. Not the Bush.
I agree. I would trust them mildly more, but not 100% either. And I don't think we should. I mean, that's our duty as a citizen. So again, we have to pay attention to the details, and that's not easy. None of us want to.
But we don't get to. I mean, this last $2 trillion went through, and we just found out. We were all like, God, half the country was saying Nancy Pelosi was stopping it. The half the other country was saying it was Mitch McConnell. And then by the end, we're like, oh, good, they signed it. Let's find out tomorrow what was there.
You're not wrong. I think this package that they're talking about will be a little bit different. I think we will see them hammer out the details more publicly. I think there is bipartisan support for it, although the levels and how it's going to be done is obviously going to be – there'll be a huge I think, debate on what each side thinks is appropriate.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what they debate over, because they're just going to do whatever got them elected. They're just going to benefit whatever lobbyist group has their name. If anybody was listening to the public, they wouldn't have renewed the Patriot Act for the second time.
Well,
in the middle of impeaching the president, they renewed the Patriot Act for the second time. This president. So no, they're not listening to the public. They're gonna vote along their best interests.
You say they're not listening to the public, but I don't hear a lot of people in my circle talking about the Patriot Act because of people aren't paying attention. Do you know what I mean? So that's us abdicating our duty as citizens and allowing that to happen. I don't think that's, you know. So I'm not saying it's a perfect system or perfect solution. I'm just saying it's what we got, and I do agree that. I agree the government should do something. I like you, am very cynical as far as them doing it in a way that's fair and that doesn't just enrich the 1%. But I think we as citizens have to hold them accountable for that. And whatever that means, I mean, we talked, I think, in our first episode together about You know, does our vote really count? Does it really matter? I think right now, though, if we're paying attention, we can make enough noise that we can have a, we can actually have an impact. I would like to think that. And if we don't try, if we don't take our role as citizens seriously, then, you know, then we've already lost.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there. You know, I, when I think about what mechanisms can take place, how that money is distributed, you know, I have a fear. I have a couple of fears. So one is, I don't want these big companies that exist that are ultimately staffed and employed, you know, meet their employment by staffing, you know, average people, you know, just normal people that want to have their jobs and their livelihood and healthcare and, you know, put their kids through school. I don't want to see those companies fail. No, let me rephrase that. I don't want to see those people have their livelihood change. That said, I mean, if we're finding out that these companies that make this much money don't have enough money in the bank to float, a good time period, don't get me wrong, but a good time period of just no commerce, like there isn't a system in place where we could all just say, all right, mortgages are paused because we're not working either. In terms of insurance, obviously, if nobody's working, we don't have to pay insurance premiums, like everything gets paused. And we don't have a system that can do that when there's a, you know, something that requires more attention than living our lives the way we've grown accustomed to. I don't really have a problem with those businesses going out of business and being replaced by new businesses that have a mindset of being able to withstand these kinds of moments. Because I'm not afraid of that demand going away. If American Airlines and Delta both go out of business because of this, you know, maybe we'll find out that it's really expensive to own a fleet of aircrafts, but maybe it's not as expensive as we thought it was. And a lot of that's government regulation. And I don't want to get into that. Maybe I picked the wrong industry to attack. But, you know, if a lot of these businesses are gone, we're not going to all of a sudden not care about that once we start making a living again. You know, if any of us have expendable income and free time, we're going to want to get right back to the life that we loved. And if Delta's not there or Bed Bath & Beyond, we're going to go to Target or back to Amazon. And I'm a little afraid of how that's going to get conglomerated sort of the way after 2008 was. But what I was really getting to is, so what if these big companies go out of business and all the people that have skilled labor underneath them, that skill doesn't vanish. Their craft doesn't go away. There just needs to be a new vessel to direct it more efficiently. And they can get all the things accomplished that the other company was doing. And it's going to be rough, but this is going to be rough anyways. Like, it's not going to get better on May 3rd. That's just when we start building.
Well, hopefully it is.
So I would rather build with new companies, with people that have skin in the game, not these idiots that couldn't manage their companies enough to have some time off and not go out of fucking business. You have a responsibility to your staff. You have a responsibility to your staff to be able to withstand a catastrophe and still be there. I'm sorry. You're so worried about your shareholders. How about your stakeholders?
I like this. You're getting fired up. So I disagree with you actually on this. A couple things. So first of all, this situation is unprecedented. And so to say, you know, I've seen all the memes about, oh, you guys don't have enough money to make it through the, you know, the epidemic. Maybe you guys should have cut out the avocado toast and the mocha lattes. Like, you know.
Yeah, those are condescending.
Right.
And they're
well,
not
but
helpful,
the reason but that's wrong is because you can't run a business like that. You can't. So if you were to tell a business, somebody to run a business and say, okay, you have to run this business like for 2 months, 3 months out of a year, you may have to go completely dark at any moment. Like, you're going to have so much capital that's not in the game that your competitors who choose not to do that are going to overtake you. That's just a fact.
No, what I'm saying is that when something happens like this globally, we can't just say you don't have to pay rent because the people that collect your rent. I mean, that must mean that the people collecting your rent never worked because they didn't change when everybody stopped working.
Well, so what I'm
so something is rotten in this system. If we all stopped, then there's no requirement to pay mortgages because the people that need the mortgages don't need it because they're also not.
So that's not producing. The thing I'm disagreeing with you about.
I recognize how naive that sounds, and I know I'm skipping.
That's not the thing I'm disagreeing with you about. What I'm disagreeing with you about is like, so your example that, well, Bed Bath didn't have enough money to survive their stores being shut for 3 months, right? You can't expect a business to run with that sort of mentality because this is a, well, hopefully it's a once in a lifetime, once in a, generation or less type event. There's no way, this is unprecedented. It's never happened, at least in recent memory, right? I guess the 1918 it happened. But so for you to run a business with that expectation that you always have to have enough money just sitting on the sidelines so that you could make it through a 3-month pandemic is just, you're not going to survive doing that. You have too much capital not in the game.
Yeah, what I'm saying isn't that, okay, so in the scenario you're describing like that, literally everything is still going on around you. Like, you can take your capital out of the game, or you have capital to float. Like, it seems like in and out income should, or debits and credits should stop in the same way that, I don't know about your bank account, but mine's pretty much halted. You know, I bought a few
things. I actually had a topic about that, but we don't have to get to it. But I think, so my point is that most businesses of that scale and size.
Am I talking past your point?
No, I think we're just not quite seeing each other's point. So for the Bed Bath & Beyond example, so a lot of companies that size don't have cash on the balance sheet. You know, they borrow money, they buy stuff, they buy it overseas. It takes a while for it to be produced and shipped to them. So they have to kind of ride that out until it gets there. Then they sell it at a profit, right? They sell it for more than they bought it for. And then they pay those loans back, and it's a cycle, right? That's how they stay in business.
Yeah. And if you catch them in the cycle, right, there's constantly
exactly.
It's flowing too. It's not like we're
Say, well, you know, this X business should have been able to weather this storm and you guys suck because you didn't plan for this. I don't think that's fair.
I'm not saying they should have planned for it. Of course you can't plan for a pandemic. That's what I'm not saying. I'm just saying that if the way our system works right now is that everything can't get paused because we fucking have to, then that's not a good system. That system can't compete, right? Like if we were, so this is a global issue. If we were a planetary system that had 9 Earths in it, excuse me, 8 Earths, sorry, Pluto. And if we were in a planetary system with 8 other planets, and we had to compete with other planets, there we would have a system where I lost myself there because I made a fucking joke about Pluto. So what I'm saying is, like, this is something that's kind of even across the board here. And if in that planetary example, I think a successful planet in that system would have its own system of commerce where this could happen. And you wouldn't just go back to the Stone Age, essentially, and have to build back up. Like, there's no resilience in the system for stopping. How crazy is that? I mean, that's pretty much the stress that the modern human feels in their life, is that we live within a system that can't stop.
What you're defining,
we'll all die.
What you're defining capitalism. I mean, that's sort of.
No, I'm not. No, I'm talking. I'm not defining capitalism, because in actual capitalism, it'll respond
needs
to
of the market,
the needs of the market at that time. And this is all being pushed by the state. Like, the pressures that are existing right now are the pressures that exist from having a bloated state that can't support itself. Dude, seriously, what's going to happen when we don't have the money to be the military presence that we've been for?
Well, that's
because I don't know how far away we are from that. But once our money doesn't mean anything because we're printing trillions every fucking day, or adding them to the bank account, there's going to be a time a few months from now where we have to answer inflation. Like, Brazil in the 90s can tell
you. Yeah, at the moment, the dollar is very strong, and we're sort of a flight to quality.
Okay,
but,
okay, hold on.
Because a lot of people are taking money out of other more risky adventures and putting it in safer places like bonds.
Do you know how the new deal was paid for?
I don't, off the top of my head, know that, no. Bonds?
I almost said President Trump.
FDR
compelled everyone in the United States to turn in their gold. So gold was valued at like $24 an ounce. Every American citizen was compelled by the President of the United States. This isn't an alternate universe. We just don't talk about this. Every American citizen, their private gold, if you had it, you were un-American. You had to turn it in. So they were compelled to give that to the Treasury. Now the United States has a monopoly on all the gold in the United States. So overnight, the president wrote that the value of gold went from $24 an ounce to $48 an ounce, and he put all the gold in Fort Knox.
So did the people that turned in their gold were given bonds or something in exchange for that?
Yeah, at the price that it was worth, I believe. Like, I don't think that they got to make double their price. Otherwise, this
or they had to wait a significant period of time before they could cash it in. Yeah. So, maybe. I mean,
wait, we can't do that now because the dollar is based off of oil. So we have to listen to the Saudis. So we can't do that now. There's no mechanism to have a real value tied in, because I mean, that was still fake, right? He artificially changed the price, but at least you could be like, well, here's all the gold reserve. Yeah. You know, we can say this is based off of that. There's no mechanism to do that now that I can think of. So we just make money and deal with the consequences later of there being more money in the money supply.
I think so that gets back to like the Federal Reserve thing, which is, as I said before, I'm not an expert on, super convoluted how they infuse money into the economy. It kind of seems like smoke and mirrors if you actually take some time and try to study it, which I have and still don't quite get it.
Your head just hurts, right?
So back to what I was saying was, we need to find creative solutions. I think through technology, we need to find ways to get capital into the hands of small businesses and entrepreneurs and people who can go in and make a difference. I do also think that we need to invest in infrastructure, and I think it's a great time to do it. I am worried about this administration, as I would be about any other, although this is particularly worrisome, about them, you know, just using it to line their own pockets and the pockets of their cronies. But that's what we got. That's what we have to work with, I think.
This is what you get when you elect a con man.
Yes. Although, I mean, so we talked.
Okay. So I go to Trump and you say it would have been true about any administration.
Right. That's kind of what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked before about him being uniquely disqualified for the situation, but we would have these concerns no matter who was in office, I think.
Isn't it weird that last time I made a case for being comfortable with Joe Biden in this over Trump? Like, what world is this?
Strange times we live in. Strange times. I think I ran out of steam on that topic, man.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Yeah, we found something we disagree on, but
we do. I
think
that's right.
On principle, especially in the fact that, like, at the end of the day, I'm going to close my eyes really hard and wish that isn't what's going to happen.
I said earlier when I was talking about Trump seeming to turn the corner, we all have to be rooting for the guy, whether we like him or not. Honestly, we're rooting for ourselves at this point.
Yeah, that's true. If you told me tomorrow that if I wrote in a pre-ballot election where I voted for Donald Trump, that this would all be resolved in a week, I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat. And for those of you who don't know, I can't stand it.
That's interesting. I would have to take time to think about that.
I wouldn't wait a second.
If you put it to me like that, that's almost putting a gun to my head, though. If you put it to me like that, I guess I might agree with that statement.
And that's scary. I'm afraid of a second term. If this podcast continues, you know, we'll have plenty of episodes where we get to talk about that. But. You have a couple other notes. One that really caught my eye was wearing shoes anymore.
That was just a throwaway, really. But so
I have a throwaway response.
So I just noticed the other day, like, I went to put on shoes and it felt weird. Like, they felt not tight, but sort of constraining. I just realized, like, man, I haven't like worn shoes hardly at all this last couple of weeks because I'm just at home. I'm not going anywhere. So, yeah, it was just a strange thing, and it just like stuck in my head, like, oh man, this is weird that I'm not used to wearing shoes anymore. Whereas normally I'm wearing shoes, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours a day.
Yeah, I put on my work boots and it was just really weird. I was like, whoa. Then they're still like, I bought them maybe a month ago, so I'm still kind of in the
process. But you felt it too.
But it was, totally. But so what I was going to say though was, I've been wearing sweatpants. Like, we've all been wearing
sweatpants. I've been wearing basketball shorts mostly, but yeah.
Yeah.
And
swang in there, right? Yeah. I put on underwear today and I'm like, I'm still wearing them. And I'm like, why would I choose to do this? This is so uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're starting to devolve here. We're not used to all this stuff.
I haven't shaved.
You shaved? That's actually, I actually tried to grow a beard for the first week, week and a half, and it was so uncomfortable. It was itchy and just like I hated the way it looked. You know how you get in that sort of that phase in the beard where it's not quite fully grown in, but it's kind of in the half.
Yeah, you kind of look like Kyle Orton and
Right,
when he was on the
except you know I don't
Broncos.
have that jawline.
Yeah, or the whiskey
Maybe.
addiction.
Don't speak too soon on that one. Yeah, but so I did. I tried, and then of course I heard somebody, I don't know where, somebody saying that like you shouldn't grow a beard right now anyways, because you're more likely to those particles can like stick in your beard and then more likely to, you know, get infected. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't bother Googling it. I just okay.
I'll be right back. I'm shaving.
I thought you were serious. And so yeah, I just
No.
shaved it off and I felt much more human again.
I bet I'd feel, yeah, there's that clean feeling you get when you shave. Yeah. Especially my neck. Like my neck is very Kyle Orton right now, but my face is starting to fill in fine, but my neck is really bugging
My
me, but I
mind.
haven't shaved anything. I haven't tr cut I hadn't cut my hair for like 2 months before it because I'm trying to kind of grow it out. And now I'm like, fuck it, nobody can see me. This is great. I can grow my hair out
Yeah,
as long
mine
as this
was like
stays.
probably in that stage where I only needed a few more days and it would have been fully in and would have been okay, but I just couldn't make it.
Yeah, it started to just get long enough that it's not poking my neck anymore. It's like, yeah,
What
sort of
about your
sticking
lady
out,
though? You're not cool with
which is
that though,
nice.
right? Yeah.
Her beard.
Oh.
Some would say I'm her beard.
Not sure how to parse that. Okay. I'm gonna let that go.
Don't. I'm kidding. I had to cut out singing the last episode. I'm
Okay.
not going to sing Let
That's
It Go.
better for all of us.
I watched that movie. Have you seen Fro?
He's
You have a kid. He's close to
a
an
teenager.
adult
No, I
by now,
haven't seen
actually.
it. I'm aware of the music. No.
You haven't seen either? So I hadn't seen either Frozen movie because I'm 37 and I have dogs.
That's not disqualifying.
And yeah, so I finally watched it in quarantine. So I had to watch the first one because I was told how good the second one was. And I enjoyed the first one. The second one was
Really?
really good though. Yeah, they so in the first one they kind of had like some hints towards like good grief, Scandinavian tribes, but nothing really developed from it. And in this one there's just a really huge focus on a Scandinavian tribe, and supposedly it's an actual one, and like the sounds that they make and chants that they do are at least homages to that, which is kind of cool. I mean, I've kind of through our lives we've lived through Disney sort of looking at cultures that they wouldn't normally have looked at and finding interesting things about it and bringing that to the worldwide platform of a blockbuster kids movie, you know, not Blockbuster Kids, the store that doesn't really exist and probably never did, but a Blockbuster movie for kids. So, you know, and it was fine. Like I, not fine. Like Mulan's a classic movie, you know, and I've grown up watching Aladdin, which was a very American movie, but at least, you know, you get what I'm trying to say. Like it was interesting to finally see a movie from Disney where they were like, oh, white people have ancient cultural tribes too. I guess we never thought of showing that. And I never cared for it or asked for that anyways. Like I was never like, yeah, when are you going to show white people's history? Because all of the other Disney. But it was good. Like and I kind of got to feel the feeling of, oh, you know, I think a lot of people complain about Disney being a little too like PC culture, but you know, once the magnifying glass and lamp came across like a piece of culture that I could identify with, I sure liked it. So maybe it's not worth being so
I think
uptight about things.
generally
Not
true
that
that
I
it's not
was.
worth being so tight about things, but I'll take that advice. I might check it out.
And don't get me wrong, I'm
Yeah,
fuck Disney,
I
but you know.
got you. I got you. Well, do you want to cover another topic, or do you want to end it here? I do have one thing I want to get to before we end it, but we could do one more topic if you want. Up to you.
No, let's do whatever your topic is. I think we probably covered
Okay.
enough
Wait.
ground
So you
there.
want me to do? Okay. My closing thing. Okay. So yeah. Honestly, I just want to say thank you to you. People that listen to this don't know the amount of work that you put into making this sound good, the editing time that you spend, and I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Dude, I was not expecting that. Of course, your welcome doesn't feel appropriate. It's been a pleasure, man. Like, this has been, you know, again, for people who don't know, me and you met because, okay, so I was a manager in training at a retail store that you were coming into to replace me when I got put to my store where I was going to be an actual manager at. So we had like a 2-week overlap where we were like two cats in the same house. And anybody who's worked in retail knows you usually don't like the person right. that comes in to replace you. Even if it's a good situation where you're being promoted, like, but you know, it's just the nature of that type of person. Usually they don't get along. We got along right off the bat. And one of the things we bonded over was our love of radio. And whether we outwardly ever said it, this has been a dream of both of ours to do something like this. I know it. So it's been a pleasure, man. It's really been fun. I mean, the only reason I care so much about doing the editing is because I've wanted to do this so long, and I know you have too, so it better fucking sound good, you know? And it's failed. We're on our 6th episode. Please, we're going to get better. I've noticed that everybody who starts listening starts on the first episode. I wish you
agree.
Do that. We talk about a lot of stuff on there, and the audio isn't quite as good.
Yeah, we should.
But yeah, we're getting... Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
I 100% agree. Well, that's definitely how our relationship began and what we bonded over, and it's kept us in contact for these many years. And we both do love this format. We do love podcasts. We do love talk. So it's really cool to be doing this with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, we'll do it again soon.
All right. Cheers.
All right, man. Cheers. Oh, wait.
None taken.
I'm not offended.
I don't think that's how that was supposed to go.
God bless.
Nailed it.
We nailed it.